This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, looking at Luke's account of the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus. But again, thank you for being here for Christmas Eve. No matter if you're a normal attender of Bellevue, or if this is your first time within the walls of Bellevue, or maybe even it's your first time within the walls of a church in a very long time, we're glad you're here this morning. Oh, again, as we enter the Christmas season, studies actually show that in the year 2023, this year, households will spend an average of $923 on Christmas gifts. Why is that the norm? That seems like a lot of money to spend on Christmas gifts. But simply put, we do so to demonstrate our love for others through gift giving. And if we're honest, how many times have we given out of a pressure or obligation of purchasing something for somebody? I mean, let's face it, we all have maybe an Aunt Mabel or a Cousin Joe that we're going to see this holiday season that we totally forgot about, and we know that if we're going to see them, we need to go get them something real quick. Side note, I don't have an Aunt Mabel or a Cousin Joe, so this is not a personal confession, but if you do, I promise it's purely coincidence, and I'm not mentioning that for anybody specifically. But when gift-giving in the holidays, the heart behind the gift-giving shouldn't be obligation, but it should be out of love. Without the expectation of repayment, without having to make things even, that's not the reason why gift-giving takes place. And again, without trying to sound like the cliche pastor that I already have because I've said it before, the reason we're here this morning is to celebrate God providing us the ultimate gift out of not obligation, but love, with no expectation of repayment. He does not want a thank you card. He doesn't want a gift in return. He simply wants us to live lives that say thank you to Him and worship through our action. So with that in mind, let's take a look at Luke's account of the Christmas story. And if you will continue joining us at Bellevue in 2024, we're going to continue reading Luke's account. But Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1 this morning. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he is pleased." And the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen and had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. I know many of you have likely heard this story over and over through the years, or some version of it over the years, and I can speak personally in saying that when you hear the same stories over and over and over again, it's easy to say, well, I've heard that before. What can be said that I haven't heard before or that I haven't already been shown? And I'm by no means promising any mind-blowing revelations, but I hope this morning, just in our quick time together, that we can take things from this all-familiar Christmas story that maybe we haven't considered before, or at least haven't considered in a while. In the first 7 verses, we get the birth account of Jesus, and a very brief birth account of Jesus. If you look in some of the other Gospels, you get a little more of the detail and some of the other things that played along. But there's a reason that we're in Luke this morning. At the beginning, it was thought, because of who Caesar was, that he was the sovereign ruler over the entire world. Considering he was in charge of the superpower that was Rome, he may as well have been. The people under his rule looked at him as a divine being. And so the census came around, and if you think about it, the census actually served as a reminder to the people of Israel that they were under captivity and under subject to Roman rule. It's a subtle reminder that when it was decreed that something like this was to be done, that they had to drop everything and respond to the Roman rule because they were under Roman law. And if we take the entirety of the story of Jesus, we see that there's a parallel to what's going on here. And you look in the Old Testament as well, the law was instituted as a reminder to God's people that they were under the captivity of sin. That no matter how good they could be, no matter how well they kept up the law, they still couldn't keep it perfectly. And so there's a parallel there between the Old Testament covenant and reminder that we are not free. We are not of our own. We are under in captivity to somebody else. But after a long and burdensome journey, Mary and Joseph are heading to where they need to in order to fulfill this law. And in verses 6 and 7, we see the time came for Mary to give birth. And the town was overcrowded because of the census. And the only place that they could find was an animal stall where the baby was to be born and placed in a feeding trough. You know, it's kind of ironic that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was treated to the same rights as animals upon his birth. Never before has somebody so important been born in such a way. In an animal stable, in a feeding trough, in some obscure village called Bethlehem. Many of you have experienced, and maybe you're currently experiencing, the responsibility of hosting somebody for the holidays. And maybe you even find yourself where you have a special guest this year. I know many of you have new grandbabies or great-grandbabies, or maybe someone's bringing their significant other over for the first time. And that's something to celebrate, a special guest this year. But I highly doubt that any of us would subject our special guest this year to an animal stall and a feeding trough. Because ideally, you might, but I'm not going to judge you for it. But ideally, we would prioritize the special guest. But conversely, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the baby promised, the Messiah that was to come, was not treated in such a way. But it was almost a foreshadow of what his life and his ministry would be in his time here on earth. Why would God allow this to take place? You would think the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah would have a triumphal entry, would be born into royalty where everybody knew and understood who he was. Why would God do it in this way? It's a great question. God knew that we would ask these things. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Scripture says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." You see, these things that are happening are a direct tie to the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah that was to come. And so the things that we see take place and that are mentioned very meticulously are mentioned because they fulfill these direct prophecies. And even in the New Testament, later on in Scripture, in Philippians chapter 2, it is said this way, "Who he, in the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed him that his name is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You see, not only is this a fulfillment of what was said in the Old Testament in the prophets like Isaiah, but also a fulfillment of what was to come in the New Testament and the ushering in of the new covenant. This was all happening for a very specific reason. And then in verse 8, we get a narrative shift. The first 7 verses, we see the event of what's taking place. But in verses 8 and through the rest of what we read, we see the response. And it's intriguing to look and see how God works, because on one level it was man's schemes. It was Augustus's decree. It was the Roman law that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. But it was God working through all of it, through even Augustus, through Joseph and Mary. And it was God who orchestrated the whole event of this baby's birth to fulfill what had been spoken of in the prophets. And we see in this passage, God chooses to reveal his glorious message of the coming of the Messiah, one of the most important events in history. Who does he choose to share this news with first? The poor shepherds, the outcast of society, the hard workers that are not of any value. They don't hold any political office. They have no notoriety. But we see God using ordinary people to bring about his divine purpose. And that's good news for you and for me, because I hate to break it to you, but we're kind of ordinary. But he uses even the ordinary people to bring about his purpose. You see, the shepherds were standing in the darkness of night at this point, but they were brought into the light of God's glory at the announcement at the birth of his son. And so you and I, because of this very baby, the same baby that they went to go see and worship, we are brought from the darkness of our sin and our brokenness into the light of God's glory for the very same announcement, the announcement of this baby. You see, the shepherds were standing in great fear in that moment. As they embraced the angel, they saw the angel before him. There was great fear. The angel had to tell them not to be afraid. But then after the announcement was made, they were moved from fear to great joy due to this glorious announcement. And you and I, because of this very baby, should respond in the same way. We no longer have to stand in fear. We don't have to stand in fear of our sin, of our future, of what is to come and the unknown and what we don't see. But we can be moved from that and move to the joy found in a relationship with Jesus. And we see that they went and worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the way that they should. And they shared that they were in awe and they were marveled at what they had seen, because every single thing the angel said about where to go and how they would find the baby took place. And they used that and they told everybody, you'll never believe what happened to us. You'll never believe what we've seen. You'll never believe what we've experienced. You know, maybe we're not so different from the shepherds. Because if you have this relationship with this baby, if you've been changed in the same kind of way, we should be in awe of what this baby has done for us as well. And just as the shepherds couldn't go anywhere without telling them, hey, guess what I've seen, what I've experienced, what I've heard, so should we through the forgiveness of sin offered through this baby, Jesus. You see, Christ's birth announcement is the proclamation that the God of Israel reigns, the same God that you and I serve today, that his kingdom has been established with the birth of this child, and that those who have placed their faith and trust in this king, not the king of Rome, not the king of Israel, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, those who have placed their faith and trust in him can proclaim with the shepherds, can also proclaim with the angels, that there is a rich wholeness in this salvation. We can join them. That's the beauty of this Christmas story, is you and I get to join the shepherds and the angels in saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests. You see, today's celebration should be all about this baby. The greatest story ever told continues today. We like to look at it as something that happened 2,000 years ago, had a beginning, had an end. But the fact of the matter is, the story's not over yet, because Jesus hasn't returned yet. This baby went to do exactly what was said of him, and he lived a perfect life. Jesus, we know, never did anything wrong that went against the will of God. He fulfilled his purpose. He lived that perfect life, but even so, went to the cross, died a murderer's death on the cross, reserved for the worst of the worst criminals. You see, the cross was about humiliation. The cross was about punishing those who deserved it most. And this baby went there and did that. And if it ended there, he would have just been another person that went to the cross. Another baby born that was raised, that grew up, that became a man, and that died. But that's not how that story ends. And we know that 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he was the Son of God that he said he was the entire time. May that be the focus of our Christmas celebration today, because without the birth of Jesus, we can't have the sacrifice and the death of Jesus. Scripture says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that includes you, that includes me, that includes your sweet grandparents that you're going to see that have never done anything wrong in your eyes. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, this baby born in this very particular way, it was made so for this very reason, so that you and I, even though we were lost and we're captive in our sin and our brokenness, God provided a way for you and I to be restored to him. Not through anything that you and I can do. There's no amount of good things we can do to tip the scales and become a good person. The fact that we have one thing wrong in our lives means that we're sinful, messed up, and broken, in need of a Savior. And that Savior came in the most humble of ways, in the most obscure of villages, told about by the most ordinary of people. But that this baby that we celebrate the birth of in the Christmas season came for you and for me, ushered in God's kingdom, that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. And that's why we partake in ordinances as the Lord's Supper, to remember that. And so as we leave from here this morning and go to our various places as we celebrate, and the family and friends we'll see along the way, may we not get caught up in all the traditions and what movies we need to watch and how we're going to do gift exchanges and all of these things, but remember the true reason why this is such an important time of year. May that be the focus of our Christmas celebration today. The greatest gift ever given is not going to be under your tree this year. The greatest gift ever given happened a couple thousand years ago in a feeding trough in an obscure town. And God used the most obscure people to bring about that news. But that is our job this morning as well, not just to remember this baby and the circumstances surrounding his birth and why it's so important, but to go as the shepherds did, as the wise men will do later, as everybody who came in contact with this baby, understanding who he is and what he's about. And we have the responsibility because we see the whole picture. You see, the shepherds didn't have the New Testament with them. They were living it. The shepherds didn't see the end. The shepherds didn't even necessarily understand that Jesus was going to go die on the cross, raised from the dead. We get the full picture of who Jesus is and why he's so important. And if the shepherds, who didn't even understand all of that, were so bold in their proclamation about this baby without even understanding the full picture, how much more should you and I be bold about our proclamation of this baby, what we've seen, what we've experienced, and what we have heard through the life of Jesus. May we go and tell this morning. I know you're going to be shocked, but that's about it this morning as we wrap up, because it is the time to celebrate. But as we leave from this place, I hope that if you've never met this baby before, if you've never had that relationship with Jesus, that today would be the day, that this Christmas season would bring about a change in your life that you've never experienced before. And if that's the case, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. I'd love to introduce to you the reason for the season that we're celebrating. But even if today is just a simple reminder of who it is we are honoring and worshiping, who it is that has given us the ultimate gift out of love, not obligation, we need to be reminded of that from time to time. You see, we have the same calling as the shepherds and those to go and tell. May we remember the change that this baby has brought into our lives, because he led us out of captivity. He led us out of the darkness and into the light. He led us out of fear and into joy. And I don't know about you, but those are things that I think this world could use a lot of in today's day and age. To be brought out of darkness into light, to be brought out of fear into joy, to be brought out of captivity into freedom through a relationship with Jesus. Because of this baby, you and I have new life if we've trusted in him. Because of this baby, everything is different. And because of that, everything should be different in how we view and love people and how we view what God wants us to do. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come and briefly just spend time looking into your word, hearing maybe a story that we've heard over and over for many years, but understanding that this baby, this child, though born in an obscure village in a feeding trough, not of any substance, not of any glamour, this normal, average, everyday baby was given to us in this particular way to bring about your purposes. We know that because of this baby, we can find new life in you. We can be restored in our relationship to you. And maybe there's people in here this morning that need to make that decision for the very first time. May this be the Christmas they look back on and remember that everything changed because that baby changed everything. And even if it's just a simple reminder, Father, may we go from here and may we be as bold and as powerful as the shepherds were as they proclaimed the good news of great joy that they have experienced. Because of you, because of the sacrifice and the payment that your son Jesus has made, we have experienced that same joy. And may we go and tell about that in this Christmas season. I pray for safe travels for those who will be on the road. I pray for those who are not here this morning, but may you continue to remind us and show us the goodness of your love and your grace and your mercy. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.